we're getting into this story here, and my question is, the almost like the question that Joshua was giving the children of Israel when he was leaving. He was basically saying, do you like what you received? Do you like what God has done? Do you appreciate that God has answered all of his promises? In fact, in chapter 23 of Joshua, he said, I want you to continue to be very careful, he said, to follow. This was in like 23:6. It won't be up there, just a reference for you. 23, he said, I want you to continue to be very careful to follow everything that Moses wrote down in the book of instruction. And then there were three words that we camped on last week. He said, do not deviate. This is where we get off track, when we deviate. And don't deviate from the word. Joshua is saying, do you like what God has done? Do you like what you've received? So continue in this. Now, that's not just a history lesson. It's a prophetic word for you right now. Do you like what God has done? Do you feel what God has done in your life? Do you want more of that? So do not deviate. Deviate, it means to leave an established path. And some, he deviated from that. He got off track. He got off track. Guys, it's easy for us to get off track. And we see something shiny and our head turns. It's easy to get off track. Deviate. And we see the word right now when someone, delicately I say this, when someone leaves the natural things that God has put in us, and we see perversions, and especially what we're seeing right now, and some of the war that's going on in our nation right now is because of deviant behavior. It is against the norm of the scripture, against the norm for the natural body that was created. And deviant behavior is one of the reasons we're seeing a kickback like we're seeing, because that is on the verge of being exposed. But God says, do not deviate from this word. Joshua said the same thing. So now it's time to say goodbye. We're saying goodbye. It's time to move on. It's time to use what we have learned. Have you ever had, we've all been through situations, and somebody said, well, what have you learned from this? Then don't do it again, a lot of times, is the question. Andy Andrews is a great speaker and a writer, a comedian, but he's a godly man. And Andy Andrews said it this way: experience is not the best teacher. He said, other people's experience is the best teacher. Don't you like that right now? And that is, in fact, what history is: other people's experience. If you're going through something, you don't have to experience. I've seen, you especially do it when you have children, and you say, well, they're at the age, they've got to sow their own wild oats. Who said? Why can't we learn from those things? Let me ask you a question. You've watched other people walk in front of traffic and get hurt. You don't walk in front of traffic. You know that if you put your hand in, and you learned the hard way, but some of you haven't had to learn because you saw somebody else. Experience is not the best teacher. Other people's experience is the best teacher. And Israel did not learn from other people's experience. So as we move from 23, we go to the last chapter. This is the last roundup as far as Joshua. This is a wonderful chapter. This chapter has it all. It is consequential on every level. What's really, really wild is that I wrote this word, consequential on every level, and then I immediately moved into the judges, and I have some framing going on, and there are some things that it probably won't even happen until the third lesson on it, if I'm thinking right now, where this word comes up, where you read up. You have a whole story going on, and right in the middle there's a verse, and you go, that doesn't belong there. Well, it's consequential as you read later on. So every word is true. So the word says in chapter 24, it says as it opens, I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to paraphrase it, and then I'm going to read it when I get to verse 11. And 24 opens up and says, Joshua summoned all the tribes of Israel together. He said, this is what the Lord God of Israel says. Then he starts giving a special history of the people. He goes back, he tells them about Abraham. Abraham had been an idolater, you know that. And then he talked about how things had changed. Then he gives a history. He talks about Moses and Aaron that came. Then he gave a history of the plagues. Then he gave a history of the Red Sea. Then he gave a history when they cried out in the wilderness for so many years. There's a statement there that jumped out to me before I get to verse 11. I believe it's in verse 8 or verse 9, in the end of verse 8. But the concept was this. Here's the whole story in a nutshell for the first 10 verses. As long as they served God, God was for them. That's the whole concept. That's all you need to know about those first 11 verses. As long as they served God, God was for them. Isn't that a wonderful sound? That's terrible. No, that's life. As long as they were for God. Look at the whole stories we've learned for the last year and 2 months. As long as they were for God, things went well. Well, goes on a little further. Verse 11. He said, when you crossed the Jordan River and when you came to Jericho, the men of Jericho fought against you, as did the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. But I, now who is the I right there? God. God's talking. He said, but I gave you victory over them, and I sent terror ahead of you to drive out the kings of the Amorites. And notice this statement. It was not your swords or your bows that brought you victory. It was not your sword or your bow that brought you victory. This is God speaking to those people, reminding them what they had done. Now, right here, that statement right there is a truth, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament or today. Not yet. It is a truth today. It is a truth today. It never changes in any testament. Zechariah said it this way. He said, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's the Old Testament. Ephesians, Paul said it this way, verse 12 in chapter 6. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against princes. That's what she was telling you about a minute ago. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Does that sound like now? You better believe it does. Against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, how are you going to stand? How are you going to be there? You like what God's been doing? Keep following God's word is basically the word here. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able not just to stand, but to withstand. But to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, you're still going to stand. You're going to stand. How are you going to stand? I'm going to keep doing what's written in red. I'm going to keep doing what the word says. I'm going to keep doing that right now. So let's go back. Let's pick up back up in chapter 24. Now, verse 13. God is still talking. He said, I gave you land that you had not worked on. Is that wonderful? I gave you towns that you did not build. And the towns, even where you're living right now, I gave you vineyards and olive groves for food. You didn't even plant those things. So God continues in verse 14. So fear the Lord. Serve him. Notice that word. Wholeheartedly. Now that's a whole message all by itself. That you know what you could really say there? When you serve God, put your weight down. If you're always looking for an escape hatch, if you're always looking at how, you know, I want to see how close I can get. It's not a love thing yet. You don't quite understand it. The story goes that the great comedian W.C. Fields lived his whole life as a proclaiming atheist, and was very arrogant about that. And the story goes that as he was quite old, and he was actually in a home, one of the actors' homes for the people that were sick and not doing well. Then an old friend came to him, and he was out sitting out on a porch to meet him that afternoon, and he noticed that W.C. Fields had a Bible in his hand, and he's standing there, and he, the Bible is open, and he says to him, he says, well, you got a Bible. I didn't think you believed in God. What are you doing with the Bible? And he said, looking for loopholes. And a lot of people are looking for loopholes. Serve him wholeheartedly. Put your weight down, or don't deviate. Stay right in it. Musicians know the phrase. They understand it. That, you know, there's so many different tempos, whatever tempo you're in, and, you know, 6-8, 12-8, 4-4, 3-4, you know, a cut time, any of those things. But they know that sometimes when they hit a spot, and that rhythm is working, and that means everybody's working, and you can, and when you're in the middle of it, you feel it, and you go, and a lot of times the musicians say, man, I was in the pocket. That's a phrase that a musician would use. We were right in the pocket. I mean, it was boom, but dumb, but that's what this is. Serve the Lord wholeheartedly. What does that mean? It means to put away forever. Forever is a word that creates problem for folk. They put things away in a closet that you can go back and run to and look at again. Talk about, hey, remember that? No, forever. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord alone. Remember what I said before? If you'll keep doing these things, God will keep blessing. Well, this is the repetitive story, not only the farewell message of Moses, but again, the farewell message of Joshua, because we go to the next verse. But there's always a but there. There's always going to be a problem there. And but that your but will get you in trouble every time right now. But if you refuse, again, an act of the will. Gee, I want God to do something. What, all right, well, what have you done with your will toward God? But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you are going to serve. Bob Dylan says you got to serve somebody. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors who they served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now? But as for me and my family, Joshua says it this way. He's pinged off of what God said. And he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Some of you are looking for legacy to leave your family and your kids. That's the legacy. We serve the Lord. What do? They serve the Lord. How much did he leave? All of it. We serve the Lord. We serve the Lord. Not out of drudgery. The scripture says we serve the Lord with gladness. We come into his presence with singing. As I said a few minutes ago, I'm not reading a history story. I'm reading a prophetic word that will take you through today, tomorrow, and until you breathe your last breath on this planet. Great preacher of the gospel, who I just over the last few years befriended, and we went back and forth a few times on media and texting. His name was Tony Miller. He was a great, great preacher of the gospel. Tony Miller said it this way to his people one day. He said, God will order your steps, but you must take the steps. God will order your steps. Oh, my steps are ordered. Have you seen those people that are just, you know, they're not saved, they're spooky. You know what I mean? Like that, it's not spiritual. Oh, God's going to do this. And it's like they don't want the word, they want magic. He said, God will order your steps, but you must take the steps. You must make the move. That's the responsibility that Moses was beating in their heads. He continued through his servant Joshua. So here we are. Here we are, where it's getting near the end. Emotions are very high right now. It's kind of getting sentimental, even, if you will, because he's getting ready to say goodbye. And here's what happens. Verse 16, then the people replied, we would never, I underline never, we would never abandon the Lord. We would never serve other gods. Write those things down when you hear somebody say that in those never words. For the Lord our God, he is the one. I mean, we can even preach. He's the one who rescued us and our ancestors from the slavery in Egypt. He performed mighty miracles right before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living here in this land. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God. Can you hear it? It was impassioned. It was impassioned. But you're laughing because you know human nature. Fast forward. Peter, will you deny me too? Never. Never. Those other fools might, but not me. I've stood with you. I'm ready to fight for you. I've pulled my sword. Not a chance. Not a chance. And in a few days later, all of a sudden, he hears a crowing that happens three times, and a little girl comes up. A little girl says, are you with him? And he got afraid. And the little girl scared him. He was going to be a lion. Human nature. But that's the way people are. Dottie Rambo read a great lyric in a song one day. It says, Lord, you know I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. And we forget things. And in urgency, things aren't important anymore. We'll never forget it. I'll never forget in this building, there was a man that sat and watched and listened for week after week after week. And I just sensed to just stand back a little bit. It was one day that the man wanted to talk to me and Linda. he sat over a lunch table with us, and he looked at me. He said, I want to tell you something. You've saved my life. Was that the word? You've saved my life. He said, I gave up on God. I gave up on church. And you guys have loved me since I walked in this door. I'll never forget it. You saved my life. You changed me. I'll never forget it. He came back one Sunday after that, and I never saw him again. Just something got stuck up in him somewhere, and he forgot. That's why you don't take the praise to heart. You realize God just uses you like he uses a servant. We'll never forget. Well, Joshua had been around them for a long time. He knew them. So this would be, if Linda was telling this would be, Linda would set it up by saying, well, I'm just telling you. She's got some of those I'm just telling you moments. They're very good. We appreciate them. Verse 19. So Joshua warned the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy and a jealous God. He's not going to forgive your rebellion and your sins. And if you abandon the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn against you and destroy you, even though he has been good to you. We all want to preach God doesn't change. He loves us for, yes, he does. But God does not change. He is a God of justice. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of law. He's a God of requirement here today. But the people said, no. No, 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 stop, stop. It's never going to happen. No, we will serve the Lord. And you are a witness to your own decision, he said. And you've chosen to serve the Lord. Another, I want you to remember this day. I want you to hear yourself saying it. Yes, we are witnesses to what we have. They put their hands up and swore before God this day. I told you about landmark revelation in this chapter that he's given not for them only, but for even us today and those who will come after us. He said, all right then, all right then. Verse 23, he then gives them a two-point message on what to do. Somebody said, well, what do I do? He said, number one, he said, okay, destroy the idols among you. I don't think there's any of you in here today that have something hidden in your closet that you open the door when you're all alone and go down on your knee and bow to it. I don't think any of you do that. I don't think any of you do that. But I think some of us might bow to our achievement, our work, things we're proud of. By the way, we can be proud. We don't need to be arrogant about it. But we've a car, a situation, things in our lives that are most important, our business, that are most important. You know me, man. Work, be diligent, man. Work hard with what God gave you. I'm for that, and I am really for it to stand back and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. That's healthy. That's really good. But something of an idol. Some of us have people that are idols. A loud voice. You're going to follow the loudest voice, by the way. And that's why you need a regular sound of worship, a regular sound of the word, a regular sound of somebody who speaks into you right now. He's number one. He said, okay, if you're going to do this, if you're going to make this promise, here's what you got to do. Point number one of his message was destroy the idols among you. Then the second point, so you got 2 points in the scripture. He said, then turn your hearts to the Lord. And he doesn't just say, now today, oh, I'm spiritual. You hear that a lot today. Oh, I'm just a spiritual person. I really am. I'm spiritual. No, he said, and turn your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. How many times in the scripture, from the front to the end, does somebody stand up and say right now, no, this Jesus of Nazareth, the specific, there were others named Jesus at that time, but Jesus of Nazareth, a specific one, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He said, okay, then if you're going to keep your promise, you can't do it on your own. He told them that. There's no way in your own power. He's telling them for then, and he's telling that for me today and for you tomorrow. He's saying, destroy the idols that are among you. Put them away, the things you bow to, the things you run to, the things you serve, and then turn your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. It's the whole message. I like that. That's pretty strong. Turn your heart. And the people then said to Joshua, We will serve him. Don't worry, dude. It's going to be okay. We're going to stay on message. We will serve the Lord our God, and we will obey him alone. Joshua's kind of got a little wink in his eye as he's talking to him. Verse 25, he said he made a covenant with the people that day at Shechem, committing them to follow the decrees and the regulations of the Lord. He decided he was going to make them sign up for it. And what he did, he recorded these things in the book of God's instructions that said, on this day you said this. On this day you said we will serve God. On this day we commemorate that thing. And as a reminder of this agreement, he took a huge stone and rolled it beneath the terebinth tree beside the tabernacle of God. Another name for that tree, it was probably the first Joshua tree before Bono found it. Do you remember back when they crossed over and they wrote that God had been good in the testimonies on the stones there? Those were testimonies that will remain to the end of time. So what he did, he said, okay, let's take what we did. Let's write all this down. Don't you know some of them, yeah, let's do it. Another saying, oh, boy, uh-oh, we're in this now. And he said he took it and he beside the tree. I thought this was an unusual. This was also called the Joshua tree. Do you know that down the road, God doesn't throw anything away? Do you know that there was another tree where our sins were written down? You know, there was another tree that were written in under a great tree that was going to be as an affirmation to eternity, that under that we would serve God and thank him. I mean, it all just comes together. If you think this is just a disjointed book of a bunch of stories here, you haven't got it yet. You're still reading it as history. You haven't read it as prophetic of what it means for you and what it means for me. And on top of it, he says something that is dramatic. He says, he's going to write it here so that down the road all the people would hear the confession. And Joshua said to people, this stone, what did he say? This what? This stone has heard everything the Lord said to us, and it will be a witness to testify against you if you go back on your word to God. I love the word, this stone. And of course, I ran off on a tangent. I ran to Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy. This is the stone, y'all. His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Say that with me. His mercy endures forever. I might need you, so be on cue. Let Israel now say,
his mercy endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron now say,
his mercy endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord now say, here's my testimony, David said. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and he set me up in a broad place. That's a safe place. That's where the storm can't hit you, where the waves can't wash you away. You can't be burned out of it. It's a place it's a vantage point that you can see up. You can see everywhere. He said, because the Lord is on my side, and I will not be afraid. What can man, that's a hand on your hip. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will see my desire on those who hate me. That's kind of fun, but we're not supposed to talk about that in church, right? Because it is better, he said, to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in the princes. The fact is, all the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. What is he doing? He's talking about not only his life lesson, but he is drawing on the history that he has known ever since he was a little boy, that David knew when God talked to him right now. What's going on, right? He's talking to the stone. He's letting the stone hear him of what he is saying right now. He said, they surrounded me. Oh, and I like that statement. Oh, yeah, they surrounded me. I mean, he didn't just leave it. I mean, he's trying to say this wasn't good. I mean, the cello music came up. They were coming from all sides right now. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. and they were quenched like a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I'm going to destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord has helped me. What does that mean? That takes me back to Joshua's word, says, it was not by swords and bows that brought you a victory. God brought these things. The story has not changed, y'all. It is still true. It wasn't by your bow. It wasn't by your sword. And here David is saying right now, for the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord has brought me through. And then you know where I'm going with this. He said, because the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. He has become my salvation. I always find that wording kind of peculiar there. First off, here's what I understand. Here's the way I kind of look at it right now. And it's not a question of fellowship. It's an opinion right now. He did what he did because he was told as a young boy that he did, and that he understood that this is what we do. This is our heritage. This is our covenant. And he says, as I did these things, it's like you wake up one day and say, man, the Lord did. Man, he's my salvation. He has saved me. David said he lifted me out of pits. He saved me from lions and bears and tigers. Oh my! He saved me from all. He saved me from all these things. He's become my. And I know it now. I might have done it mechanically because we're supposed to, but I've lived long enough to say he has become my salvation. In him is my help and my trust. I'm doing pretty good right at that point right now. I got to tell you right now. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. He said, I will not die, but I will live. I will declare the works of the Lord. And then I put in parentheses for the next verse, yeah, this is true. This is true. The Lord has chastened me, though severely. Anybody been chastened severely? The line starts here right now. He has chastened me severely, but he's not given me over to death. He brought me to correction, and he said, hey, see this, come on up to a higher place. So he opens to me the gate of the right of righteousness. I will go through those, he said, and I will praise God. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous will enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. Who has become? And he said, I'll tell you who it is. He is the stone which the builders rejected, and he has now become the chief cornerstone. Don't you think he knew about the Ebenezer stones? Don't you think he knew that they would write those things down? Don't you think he also knew that it was important to build any superstructure at all? You needed a strong stone of foundation. Where's your starting point there? He said he is the chief cornerstone. And all of this stuff in our lives, maybe you've had an unusual life and you've gone through more chastening than blessing at times right now as all of us is faced. He said, but here's what you need to know. Verse 23, this was the Lord's doing. This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Can I just tell you, the Lord's doing is always good. Maybe when we're in the middle of it, we can't feel that. Maybe, remember the old bumper stickers in the 70s? Praise God anyhow. Maybe that's where that was. Maybe where that came from. I love you, God, but this is kind of a bad scene right now that I'm in right now. He said, but all of this was the Lord's doing. Now, you're going to see that concept is going to be a thread coming through when we get into Judges next week, okay? You're going to see that thread, but this was the Lord's doing. Have you looked at some tragic things in your life? You know, we went through trauma of a storm, trauma of what all of us have gone through this year, other things like that. It is an amazing how we can look back of the tragedy and the trauma and say, man, if that hadn't happened, God wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have been this. I wouldn't have met this person. This thing would not have happened. And that's what I'm believing for all of us. And I know that will be the final testimony for each one of us right now. So he ends. He ends after talking about the cornerstone, the stone. He said, so this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad. You sang that song in the 70s and you clapped and you did Ring Around the Rosie. You did all everything in church. We sang because we were rejoicing. This and we sang that over and over. How many of you did not know that the chief cornerstone is talked about just four verses ahead there? The establishment, our foundation. That's how we can say. It's not some believism, this is the day. It is based on the fact. It is based and built on the stone. I told you I'd get off track with that. But when I started reading about the stone, I had to see where it all came from and where it was going to go. So back to verse 28 in chapter 24. We're getting ready to land the plane. And Joshua sent all the people away to their homelands. This right here was probably about the last time that many of them would see and hear him. Okay? This was a farewell. It said, after this, Joshua, the son of Nun, and I love this. So much could have been said. So much could have been put in there. But I love this statement. Joshua, the servant of the Lord. Some of them, for most of his term, looked at him as just the backup quarterback. He was the new guy for a lot of them still for years. Joshua, the servant of the Lord. He died at 110. They buried him in the land that he had been allocated. Verse 31, the people of Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who lived him, those who had personally experienced all that the Lord had done for Israel. I love this statement here. He was the servant of the Lord. You know what's being said here? This is being said by God Almighty. You know what God is saying right there? God is saying, he served me with honor. And he served me with distinction. You've heard them when they talk about soldiers and policemen. And they served with honor, and he served with distinction. Means he was honorable in his character in front of people and behind doors. And distinction means he was set apart from all the others there. We read the story of Joshua. He was quite different than Moses was. Moses was just a bombastic type A all the way through. But when you hear Joshua and you read, even when he had a difficult times, he had a spirit of humility about him. There was a spirit of kindness and gentleness about him that Moses did not have. And it was what it was. And when it is over, though, God used them both. And he said he was a man of honor, a servant of God. And as we round the bend of this great part of this great story today, I want to go back to the passage. Of everything I've read today, in fact, I would say that if you started with chapter 1 and you've got the be strong and very courageous three times in that first chapter, and then you go back to this one. Perfect bookends for a book. When he stands before him, therefore, he said, fear the Lord, serve him with sincerity, put away the gods that you served on the river, serve God. And in verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves. Choose for yourselves. God still gives you a will to choose who you're going to serve. You're going to serve the God of your fathers, the Amorites. But I just want you to know, man, in the last chapter of this book, in front of you before I leave you, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The choice of that day is the choice of today. There's no better time than the present. This is a mindset that will help you to get ready for your moment. I told you 7 weeks ago, the concept here was he was ready for his moment. He worked as a young man. He worked apprenticed under Moses. He was the spy that God honored and that Moses then honored. He and Caleb, they came back. He was ready for his moment, like that backup quarterback. I told you about the Broadway understudy that had to go on. Remember I told you about Scott Foster, the accountant in the afternoon that played goalie for the Chicago Blackhawks and made 7 saves in a hockey game? Nobody's ever done that. He was ready for his moment. This mindset gets you ready for your moment, and that mindset is preparation. Talk about preparation. You know, I think there's some things we need to be preparing about in the natural and physical, and I may be addressing that in the weeks to come. On March 2001, his name was Drew Bledsoe. He was a great quarterback. He signed a 10-year contract for $100 million. He was the quarterback for the New England Patriots. That was for 2001. And in the very second game of 2001 season after that contract, he was hit by a New York Jets linebacker in such a way it sheared a blood vessel in his chest, which and blood vessels burst in his chest, and it resulted very close to his death, and they actually had to save his life. When they carried him off the field, his backup took the starting position, and that season he led his team to the playoffs. Drew Bledsoe recovered. He went on to quarterback for the Cowboys a few years later. That backup in 2001 that was sitting on holding the clipboard just won his seventh Super Bowl ring last Sunday. He's ready for his moment. One of the greatest hitters of all time passed away 2 weeks ago. As far as I'm concerned, Hank Aaron is the home run king. I was in Detroit, Michigan when he hit number 714. And I got the front page of the sports page of the Detroit Free Press, and the picture of Hank hitting that 714, hitting that thing, and I just kept it. Then one day, about 20 years later, somebody said, "Hey, Hank Aaron's going to be at this card show," and I took my newspaper, and in my closet right now, I've got 714 with Hank's name written on it. He said, "In playing ball and in life, a person occasionally gets the opportunity to do something great. When the time comes, only two things matter." Got that? Being prepared to seize the moment, and then having the courage to take your best swing. Hank. So my call today, how many of you are ready to take your swing? How many of you are ready? You've heard the word. You know the plays already. You know the offense already. You know what's going on. But as for me and my house, why don't we make the affirmation, we will serve God, number one. And before that, he said, put away all idols, and then turn your heart wholly to God. 3 points. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. That's all. Put away idols, turn your heart toward God. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you need to be ready when the call, next man up, comes. It's calling for you. Let's stand. Gonna miss these people, aren't you? What a story. What a life. We will serve God. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. If you're not here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's as simple as saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The word is clear. All have sinned. First breath in sin. It's because of that first Adam that failed. But there was a story of another Adam who did not fail, and he brought life. And he received the punishment so that we would not have to take it. He was wounded, he was bruised, he was chastised. Stripes were put on his back for me that I might have life. So today I don't want to make a hollow, empty promise like Israel saying, we'll never forget you. But the mechanics of it say there will be no idols in my life. My heart will be turned toward God. And as for me and my house, we will serve God. Lord, we receive you today. I come into my heart. If you've never said it before, you said it 5 times or 10 times, and you didn't put your weight down as the children of Israel did. Receive the Lord today. Receive his word. What do you do now? You read the word. You fill your heart with the word. You get around someone who will speak the word to you. You get in fellowship with somebody who knows the word. You move away from things that move you from God, idols. And Father, right now, touch each one. Father, I encourage everybody in this house today. Everybody in this house today. Some of us, we could stand up and one story after another of the difficulties we are all walking through right now. But the overwhelming testimony of people who have walked this a long time can say, yeah, I've got some rough testimonies, but I can tell you that God, it was God that brought me through. It was God who brought me through. It was God who did that. Let it be said like Israel, it was God who brought me through. And let us come out with a high hand. During this week, during this difficult week, Father, give us wisdom, give us insight. Give your people protection over the next few days a very special way right now. Father, be with them and love on them and hug on them in your blessed name. Let them feel the warmth of your presence when cold is all around. Let them fill their houses with the word. Let them fill their ears with the word and the worship of songs. Let them receive songs of today. Maybe they want to write down these songs this morning that we sang today download them so you can hear Holy Spirit rain down. You might want to hear some other songs over and over. Play them during the week and say, what is this saying in my heart, and what am I saying to God right now? When we leave, these words will be on the screen. You'll be able to see what songs, and you'll be able to receive them.